Morning, family. It's great to see you guys again after a good few weeks. Been into Africa, been to Frydenburg, and we were in Edgemead last week, and now we are home. Yeah, it's great to be here. You know, on the way here, I was chatting to Laureen. I said, I can't believe it. It's the 28th of June already. Halfway through the year. It's amazing how time flies. And you know, when you get old, that time really flies faster because you know you got Munda. So, you have many days left. Yeah, Laureen wants to live until 100. Good luck. I'm not going to be around. No. So, just Patrick, during worship, he brought a word. And I was like, oh, man. And then Joe stood up just before he handed it over to Patrick, and he shared again. And I said, oh, man, these guys are just stealing my preach. It's like, what's going on? But anyway, a young man not so long ago found me and asked me, you know, does God ever get disappointed with us? You know, get disappointed with our worship, just get disappointed with our lives, get disappointed with our prayer lives. Does God get disappointed with us? But in this world that we're living in today, it's very easy for us to become disheartened, visionless, and confused about the direction of our lives as a result of circumstances. I want to speak directly to every heart here today that has ever felt like giving up, and I'm speaking about myself as well today, to the one who once burned, and Sonia mentioned this, Tanya mentioned this in the prayer meeting. Sonia, Tanya, same thing. To the one who once burned with passion for Jesus, but now feels distant, disillusioned, depressed, and some of us even feel disqualified. You know, just like, you know, I've been praying for ages for this thing, and God's just not coming through. I've been praying for a husband, and I'm like 45 now, and you know, God, where are you? I'm just like, you know, really, he's praying worth it? You know, reading the Bible, you're such a schlep in the mornings. Getting up and praying, it's become so difficult. The average person prays for 4 minutes a day, according to a study group that was done in America. And you know what? The one who quietly lays down their calling or their gift because of failure, because of fatigue, whispered to yourself, to themselves, it's over. I'm tired. I'm done. And I can recall in my own situation going into Africa, and it's difficult. And I've just come from Africa now, and it was a difficult circumstance, although it was a very good trip, a very productive trip. But initially when I was going into Africa, I didn't want to go. I was like, oh, do I have to? And I used every excuse in the book to try and get out of these trips to Africa. But this last trip was very productive. It was a great trip. I actually enjoyed it. The bad part was this, and I'll share it with you, which is like, ah, Lord, what's going on? And somebody shared about the sunflowers being washed away. It's chief. Now, in Malawi, there were massive floods there, and 500 families, homes, and crops were washed away. They are desperate for accommodation, for shelter, and for food. They don't have food. And last week, I get a message from one of the elders, the pastors over there, and says, two of our kids passed away yesterday because they were so hungry. They had dug up roots, and they ate the roots, and the roots were poisonous, and they died. Now, we have put in a request to get money there so we can buy them maize and buy them food. But it's so disheartening. So, Lord, where are you? And you become discouraged. But you know what? Even though you might become discouraged, even though you might become despondent or depressed that God's not there, let me tell you, God is a God who pursues us. He pursues us all the time. Not just sometimes, all the time. He's a good shepherd. He leaves the 99 for the one. And you could be that one that's sitting here right now. You've come to church, yay, delighted that you're here. But like you're not really here. You're here because your comm leader is going to catch you out, or your overseeing elder is going to catch you. Where were you on Sunday? And you're just like, okay, I'll go to church. Nothing better to do. It's raining outside. I can't go to the beach, so I'll just come here. But you know what? He's the father who runs the prodigal. And you might be the prodigal at the moment. You know, I was in the Edgemead last Sunday, and there was a young lady that was there. She was there when we were when I was leading the congregation with Laureen. And we left that congregation 7 years ago. And just after we left, her husband and her left as well. And I saw her on Sunday back at church. It was her second Sunday that she came back. And God gave me the word that God's got a ring for a prodigal daughter that has returned. And to see her there was just so uplifting, so encouraging. But she drifted away. She became disillusioned, her and her husband, disappointed with Josh Jen. You know, and it's always about Josh Jen. It's not about Josh Jen. It's about Jesus Christ. And in John 21, we see Jesus personally walking the distance after his crucifixion, no matter how far, to find Peter. And the whole story of this preaching is about Peter. The very one who Jesus called the rock on which you'll build this church. Peter, you are the rock on which I'll build this church. Now, Jesus went after him deliberately. Remember, Peter rejected him. He denied him. I don't know who he is. I've never hung out with this guy. I don't know who he is. And remember, you were supposed to be the Messiah, the King of the Jews, but I don't know him. On this rock, I'm going to build a church. But Jesus didn't wait for Peter to come back to him. Jesus pursued Peter. And you know, sometimes when people offend us, we get up our muff trees. So I'm not going to make up with that guy until they come back to me. I did that. I was estranged from my two brothers and my sister, and they didn't want to know me because I became a pastor, an elder, a Christian. And for nearly 15 years, they didn't speak to me at all. Not at all. And then I was convicted one day. About 2 years ago, at the beginning of the year, I was praying and the Lord said to me, if somebody has sinned against you, you go to them. Don't wait for them to come to you. Because I phoned them. I phoned John, I phoned Kath and Vinny. I said, please forgive me. Whatever I've done that's caused you not to speak to me, won't you please forgive me? Two of them put the phones down. They weren't interested. And the other one said, no, it's cool. We back together. We family. The beginning of last year, I went to a cousin's 80th birthday party. And guess who were there? My sister and the other brother, who didn't want to know me. They ran up to me and they embraced me. They loved me. And it was just such an amazing reunion. Our hearts were knitted together again and joined together. It's just amazing what God did in that moment. So the good news is Jesus went after Peter. His love refused to let Peter stay lost in his disillusionment and disappointment. Can you imagine Peter? He's standing at this fire. You can stick up that first slide for me. Can you imagine him sitting around the fire, this little charcoal fire? He walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus performing miracles. He was the guy that said, you are the Messiah. He was the guy that heard, you are the rock on which I'm going to build a church. But yet, this fire, this little charcoal fire, he's sitting there, and that woman, this slave girl or servant girl, says to him, but I recognize you. You used to hang around with him. He says, no, I didn't. No, I didn't know him. Complete denial. So this is the fire that he's sitting around, the fire of denial. Now he's drifted away and he's like, oh, my hat. I can't think of a worse thing that could happen to anybody. You know, if you go back into your own mind and you think of something that really happened was terrible, then you'd have a picture and that picture would be long lasting in your mind until such time you are able to get rid of it. Through forgiveness or whatever. But I could imagine Peter hung on to this moment. Oh, I rejected him. I loved him so much. He loved me. He told me I was going to build a church. I'll be the rock of the church. But I denied him. I don't know him. Oh, you know, I can imagine he would have felt terrible. Let's just turn quickly to John 21, verses 5 to 13. I'm going to read out the New Living Translation. So this is when Jesus came back from Jerusalem. He walked all the way to the Sea of Galilee. And he says, fellows, in some version it says, children. Just the love of the Father towards us. Fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Remember when Jesus first went out to go and find the disciples in Luke chapter 5? Guess what he was doing? He found the fishermen repairing their nets, and he told Peter to go. Simon Peter at that point, go, push your boat out a little bit further and cast your net out. You're going to catch more fish. And they caught so many fish that it'd get two boats to bring in all the fish. And now we see that happening again. So he was called then, and Jesus is back now under similar circumstances. Then the disciple who loved Jesus said to Peter, that's John, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he'd stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. It was about 100 meters that he had to swim. The others stayed in the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore, 90 meters. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. Just before we go on, 153, you'd say, why did they mention in the Bible specifically 153? Anybody know? In those days, they thought there were 153 species of fish. There's a lot more. There's like 2,000 different species of fish. But it showed you at that time that as fishermen of men, you can go to everybody. It's not an exclusive religion. This Christianity is for everybody. It doesn't matter where you're from, what color you are, what status you are. This is for everyone. And so when they brought out this fish, there was an assortment of fish over there. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. Amazing. I've come to know that Jesus pursued me so many times and others in our weaknesses. And as I said, Peter the bold one declared in Matthew 16, verse 18, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus had responded with such promise, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. But he himself crumbled. The rock, Peter, crumbled in that moment when he denied him. And you know, the Jews still despise them because, or the Jews are still despised because they believe, or the people believe, that the Jews crucified Jesus. Let's look at Luke chapter 22, 54 to 57. So they arrested Jesus and led him to high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed them there in the firelight and began staring at him. This man was one of Jesus' followers, but Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know it. So Jesus went from bringing the Messiah, the Son of God, the miracle worker who we sang about early on, to an ordinary man who was just going to be crucified. And just imagine, you had all your hope, all your trust, all your belief in Jesus. And yeah, he's taken away to be crucified like an ordinary man. Where's the power? Where's God in all of this? Where's his angels? And then, as I said earlier on, in Luke 5, we find him back where he started, fishing. How many of us go back to what we used to do? It was comfortable. It's easy. I've taken everything that I've learned in my Christian walk and I've laid it down. I've taken the very gifts that God has given me and I've buried them. Because I've gone back to becoming just an ordinary fisherman. And that, remember what Jesus said to him? Peter, I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. But he was fishing for fish. Jesus wasn't angry with him at all. So you can imagine Jesus rising from the victory of an empty tomb, setting his face, traveling 150-odd kilometers in pursuit of what it takes. He didn't do this in anger. He said, like, I'm going to go and get that Peter when I find him. I mean, he was the guy that ran me down. He betrayed me. I'm going to throttle this oak when I get him. No, he went there in love. He went there in love. So he arrives at the shore before dawn. He makes a charcoal fire and prepares the breakfast. The fish is already cooking. You can put the second slide up for me, please, Bronwyn. So when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he jumped out of the boat and he swam to the Lord. So you can see the similarity over here. Firstly, the fisherman, back to fisherman, the fire of denial, and this is now the fire of restoration and reconciliation. The fire there to keep you warm. And who restores him? Jesus restores him. Jesus pursued him. You know, many of us can say, oh, I'm going to have to go through the, you know, jump through the hoops again, go through the mill. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do that. No, Jesus is already there waiting for you because he loves you so much to leave you. Let's just look at John 21, 15 to 17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He's pointing to the disciple. Yes, Lord, replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question the third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus then said, then feed my sheep. You see, Jesus recommissioned them. And Jesus wants to recommission each one of us. Do you love the sheep? Do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? Do you love the person that's not you so much that you're going to reach out to them during the week and have a coffee with them? Somebody that you haven't seen for a long time that you might have an offense with, that you're going to break that fence down and go and meet with them to restore and reconcile with them. You see, Peter moved away from failure and shame to fruitfulness and leadership. We know that Peter became an apostle, and your homework, because there's no community for the next 3 weeks, is to go and read the two books in the Bible called 1 Peter and 2 Peter and see for yourselves what amazing transformation took place in Peter's heart for him to be able to write and pen down what's written in those two books. In seasons, I've grown weary in ministry, honestly. I've got tired. I came back from Africa and I said to Lauren, I am so tired. I need a break. And just when you think you're going to take a break, there's another meeting. And then another meeting. And another meeting. Another meeting. And so you just delay your meetings. And you get so tired. Like, I am bushed. I am tired. And it's so easy. You're like, maybe I should just pull the plug now and go on permanent retirement. And I can just lie on my bed all day and watch movies, sleep, read, paint, whatever we do. Eh? Paint you a picture. I will. You've heard it. You see, Jesus didn't shout at Peter from afar. He drew near. He prepared the table for him in the presence of his shame. And he gently asked, and he's asking you today, do you still love me? Do you still love me? His question wasn't to condemn, it was to restore and to empower. And God, as Joe said early on, wants to restore and empower each one of us. He finds us, he forgives us completely, and he places the calling back into our lives with a fresh fire. He said, now go. Now go and do what you have been asked to do. Go and be a Christian. Go and be the light in areas of darkness. Go and spread the gospel. Go into the nations like these beautiful people that are all going to Holland or the Netherlands. And you know, this love echoes throughout the Bible. We remember the prodigal son He went and squandered all his father's inheritance. He was disowned by his entire family, by the entire village. Didn't want to know him. But his father saw him coming and he ran to him. The same image. Jesus runs to Peter. He's running towards you and I. And he gives him the ring, the cloak, and the sandals. And he prepares this amazing feast for him. We see it in Jonah running away from God's call, only to be pursued through the storm and in the fish's belly, then recommissioned to go and speak to the people in Nineveh. And in David, after great failure, God's mercy raised him to be an apple of his eye. You see, God's faithfulness, and hear me on this, God's faithfulness outlasted their drifting, their lukewarmness every single time. His faithfulness. We become unfaithful so quickly. We become lazy. We become lukewarm. We become tired, disenfranchised, depressed, demotivated. Think of all the D's. But Jesus pursues you with an unconditional love. What does this mean for you and me today? If you have drifted, you've lost a bit of hope, you've become lukewarm, firstly, recognize his voice on the shore, like John who cried, "It's the Lord." Let the Holy Spirit open your eyes right now so that you can see that Jesus is near. The second point is, don't stay in the boat. Jump out of the boat. Swim to him with everything you are. Bring your emptiness, your broken nets, your failures, your disillusionment, your disappointment, your hurts to that fire of redemption. He wants to redeem you. He's not reluctant. No, he wants to. Third thing is, receive his forgiveness and the fresh commission. Your denials do not disqualify you. His grace qualifies you. His denials do not disqualify you. His grace qualifies you. You can say that. His grace qualifies me. It does. And finally, read, consume, devour his word. Jeremiah 15:16 says this. When they drink from it, no, wrong one. It's 15:16, Bron, sorry. There we go. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. If you're feeling down, you're feeling out, you're feeling miserable, you're feeling disillusioned, depressed, pick up his word. Devour it. When you go to bed, switch off your phone and pick up the word and read that. Let that be the last thing that you read that night. The same Jesus who restored Peter is calling you today. Feed my sheep, because the work's not over yet, guys. The word's not over. Remember I said, please go home, read 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And ask yourself the same question. Is this the man that actually denied Jesus? Is this the man? What? Is this really? Look at 1 Peter 4:8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Do you think he would have been able to pen this had Jesus not showed him that love? And he's speaking to you and me. Love believes the best. Love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't matter that the person offended you. And for those of you who are standing strong, you say like, oh, that's not me, Kim. I'm on point with God at the moment. Become people who walk the distance with and for others. There's lots of people that need help. Pursue the drifting ones with the same love that Jesus showed Peter. It's easy for us to forget about the people that aren't here. The people that don't come to comms. The people that you once introduced to Jesus. That came to church once, twice, three times, but you haven't seen them again. We've got to go back to them with love and embrace them and encourage them in love to come back. Not to Josh Jen, but to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our Jesus never gives up, guys. Even when we lay down our gifts, he picks them up. He restores us. He sends us out with greater power than we had before, just as he did Peter. No distance is too far. You may feel that, look, I've backslidden too far for help, too far for redemption. No. No distance is too far for Jesus to find you. No failure is too great. You might be saying to yourself, oh, but Kim, you don't realize I'm a porn addict. I'm drinking. I'm beating up my wife. My wife's beating me up. Lorraine's got a broken foot because she kicked me on my head. No, I'm joking. No, it doesn't matter. God says no failure is too great. I paid that ultimate price to get you back. He finds us, he forgives us, and he empowers us for his harvest. We shouldn't be sitting here and thinking, it's all about me. It's all about me. You know what? You guys have got get out of jail, get out of hell cards in your back pocket. Think about the people that don't know Jesus. Think about the lost. Think about the people that had never met Jesus in their lives before, that they are going to spend eternity in hell. Will you be sitting in heaven and you say, probably say, well, I should have tried a little bit harder for that person. It'll be too late. There's one thing that you can't do in heaven, and that's evangelize. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. If you sense Jesus is on the shore calling your name, I'd like you to respond. If that's you, just stand up. If that's you saying, look, I've drifted. I've got tired. I've wanted to give up. I'm disappointed. I'm depressed. I'm whatever. Just stand up. I'd love to pray with you. You know, God wants to restore you and use you. We want you to be restored. We want you to be used. Because as each part does his part, so the family is going to grow. So the church is going to grow. So the church will advance. So please don't be afraid. If that is you, please stand up. Thank you. Thanks, ladies. Anybody else? So I just want to pray for these people that have stood up. Firstly, thank you. Let me ask you this question first. You can just look at me quickly, sir. Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Both of you. Okay. So just pray this prayer. It's a very short prayer with me. Lord, you know I love you. Restore me and use me. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the rest of you guys, I'm going to pray over you. You can sit down. Thank you. There's some of you that might be here that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're visitors. Tell your story. It was a very successful king in his kingdom. And he found out that somebody was stealing all his gold. And he said, if I find who's stealing my gold, that person is going to get 40 lashes. And 40 lashes in those days was enough to kill somebody. So after a short period of time, his bishops came to him and said, we found the person that is stealing all your gold. So who is it? Sir, King, we're sorry to tell you, but it's your daughter. Can we excuse her? He said, no. Make sure that she's strapped over the barrel. She must be whipped. She must face judgment. People, but it's your daughter. Surely you can forgive her. No. Somebody's got to pay the price for that sin, stealing. So as they tied her down, the king got up out of his throne. He took his robes off. And when he laid over his daughter, and he said, okay, now whip. And they said, sir, but we can't. You're the king. He said, now do it. So the father took the lashings and died so his daughter could live. He took the punishment. And Jesus did the same thing for you and me. He took the punishment for the sins that you and I have committed. He said, Lord, I'll pay the price. I will be crucified. I will go onto that cross. The word says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will be saved and will spend eternity with him. So if you don't know Jesus, and you want to make him part of your life, you need him, just raise your hand quickly so we can pray for you. Anybody? Okay, for the rest of you, can close your eyes, bend your heads, bow your heads, bend your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for pursuing us like you pursued Peter. Thank you that no matter how far we drift, you walk the distance with love. Forgive us, restore us, and recommission every heart yet today. Raise up amongst us faithful shepherds, Lord, faithful equippers, and bold witnesses for your kingdom. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. Amen.